I see it.
Is that okay? So yeah, we have a few main questions, and I'll do that. I'll try to, it's about 15 minutes of questions, so it'll come out to be hopefully 45.
Don't worry.
Okay. Great. You, well, I was worried about you in Pierce County because you usually have a lot of agenda. It's a little more formal.
Yeah, and actually, it does look like a lot, but Mike had told me earlier he's going to really get through his quickly.
Okay.
And these are like really not that much.
Okay. So yeah, I hope you'll speak up too.
Okay.
There's some roles to get things moving if you want to feel like that would be helpful.
Welcome to the Clark County Solid Waste Advisory Commission, and we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. We're going to start off, we are going to officially, it's been requested, if we could just go quickly around the room and introduce ourselves. I think everyone has their names in front of them except for a couple of people. Sabra, you want to start us off?
Hi, I'm Sabra Hall-Nelson. I'm from Environmental Services.
I'm Stephen Smythe, representing North Clark County, Battleground.
Hi, Alan Jessica, and I'm with the individual interested parties.
Dick Baker, County at Large.
John Ebbison, Waste Industry.
Brian Wilson, Southeast Clark.
Lisa Schmidt, your chair and representing small cities and towns.
Jack McCurry, Southwest Clark County.
Brandon Vick, Clark County Business.
Julie Robertson, Department of Ecology.
Anita Largent, Environmental Services. You want to go, Scott?
Let's
Scott Campbell, Waste Connections.
Mike Davis, Clark County Solid Waste. Good evening, Gary Bickett, Clark County Public Health.
Beth Gill, Department of Ecology.
Great. Excellent. Okay, so first let's call. I believe we have a quorum tonight. Let's go ahead. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Do we have any corrections? Or would someone like to make a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Richard Baker makes the motion to approve. Anyone have a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Jack. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstained.
And one abstention. Thank you. By John. Okay, updates. We didn't need to adjust at all tonight, right? We're okay with the schedule
we're okay.
As presented.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and start out with Clark County Public Health.
Sabre just reminded me, I've got a couple things I want to share with you, but one of the things I probably have heard, there's some changes going on with management at the health department. Marty Story, our interim director, took a position with Washington County as their manager of the health department over there. Excited for her. She actually lives over there. And just recently bought a house with her new husband, I guess. You know, they've been married about a year. But anyway, so it's kind of a change, and this is something that I guess, you know, King County, Snohomish County, some of the larger health departments have, but Alan Melnick, our health officer, is going to be the administrator as well, / health officer. And so he'll be just working in Clark County. Currently, he's health officer in, you know, Skamania, Cowlitz, and Kiakum County as well. And then he's also a research associate at OHSU, which he'll continue that, but that's kind of phasing out. There's about a year of that left. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. And then there's going to be a couple other managers that are going to be overseeing operations, like what Marnie was doing, and then performance management. But anyway, some good things, I think, some real positive. You know, good qualified people right in house that stepped up to the plate, and Alan's very comfortable with that. But anyway, that's kind of like good news over there, so I had to share that with you. A couple of things. I don't know if you read in the paper. I don't know if it did work in the paper, but Scott, I just wanted to mention that at West Van had a little bit of an incident with picric acid, which an HHW worker found, and that's highly explosive stuff. It's pretty nasty stuff, so they've called the fire department or anything. But Melissa and Department of Ecology is coming down the 15th on Monday and meeting with Waste Connections, and they're going to go over and make sure update the plan for accepting moderate risk waste and to make sure they've got a good plan in place and that accidents don't happen. So that's a good partnership. And I did want to mention another kind of a neat partnership that we have going. The city of Vancouver was just awarded an EPA grant. I believe it was $400,000. And it's for it's a three-year project, and what they're going to do is the city, it's an EPA area-wide brownfield for infrastructure and brownfield revitalization planning, but not environmental assessments. And it's for the Lower Grand Employment Area, a partially developed 173 acres sub-area near downtown Vancouver. So Brian DeDonker, you know, with our SHA Site and Hazard Assessment Program, is partnering up with Brian Snodgrass and actually going to perform assessments as needed and make those grant dollars even go further. So that's kind of a neat partnership we have with the City of Vancouver. And also, I just wanted to mention, too, and give Brian DeDonker, who some of you might remember, he gave a presentation here last year, I think it was. But with the Site Hazard Assessment, they have an annual conference or meeting, and this year it was in Ellensburg. And Brian was awarded Best Presenter. So that's pretty good because, and it was through his work with the presentation similar to the type that he gave us here with his work on septic tanks at commercial and industrial sites and making sure that the waste, you know, chemical waste and those types of things is separated out from the biological waste and if there's already, some sites there are already some contamination and making sure there's some cleanup going on and some partnerships with that. So he was, that's a good accolade for him. He got a lot of accolades for his work. And it's sort of a model for the rest of the state. So that was pretty good. That's really all I had.
Anything for Gary?
I'll help you write that up. That was kind of fast.
Thank you very much, Gary. Appreciate it. Okay, Anita.
Okay, well, first I wanted to mention that we had the ribbon cutting for the compressed natural gas fueling station and the yard waste trucks at Waste Connections on September the 12th. And there's a newspaper article in your packets. And also CVTV was there, and I'll send you out a link for the little video clip that they've done on that. Also, in your emails, you got the copy of the Green Neighbors newsletter with the events that are coming up for October. And I just wanted to point out a few things. One is we're having a workshop on October the 27th called The Bug Chicks. So it's a workshop about bugs in gardening. And it's from 1:30 to 4 at the Water Center, and it's in the newsletter. Also, this first week of October is Household Hazardous Waste Awareness Week. And we've had a couple of medication take-backs at Legacy, Salmon Creek, and then Peace Health. And there's a block foam, electronic, and household hazardous waste collection this Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Public Works Operations Center on 78th Street. And then lastly, I was wanting to update folks on Empower Up. They're moving from their store on 4th Plain to, it's 3206 Northeast 52nd Street, but it's between St. John's and St. James next to the Paws and Claws thrift store.
And Partners in Careers is located in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
Friends of the Carpenter.
Yeah.
And that's going to be October the 11th. So that's it for me. Any questions, comments?
Who was at that moment?
Empower Up.
Empower Up, the computer. They take the computers and
refurbish. They take the block phone?
Yes.
They do. They take the block phone.
So that's going to go over there now?
Instead. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I've utilized that.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
So I serve on the board, just to remind everybody here. It seemed to make good sense. We actually were a big part of their creation. They started out as CREAM, which I don't remember what that acronym was for.
Computer, recycling, electronics.
Yes. And so the name was changed, and I'll spare you the details of why. But it has been quite a success, and I'm just very proud to know that originally the county had provided some startup funding, as well as the city of Vancouver. And that funding, you know, was for only a certain amount of time. And they are now self-sustaining. They have a number. I mean, the volunteer crowd is fantastic. We are able to provide a certain number of part-time jobs, not enough, you know, for anything. But people are willing to take on 5 or 10 hours of part-time work per week. And for the experience, one of the proudest moments, I think, is we had one of the people we trained, because we work with Partners in Careers, so they come over, and people who need to kind of make a different direction due to their job has kind of been phased out, you know, for various reasons. We actually had someone who was hired by Intel. And so I think that's a great compliment to that organization, that they are really providing a huge service. So please support them, donate items, volunteer your time, and shop the store. It's been very, very successful.
I saw that you mentioned also that about I'm on the green team at the Legacy Hospital here.
Yes.
In Salmon Creek, and that the collection there of the thermometers and prescription drugs and various things there. And
yes.
Very pleased to be able to host that, as well as the farmers market that they were able to have this year.
Great.
And it's kind of a neat thing for that. And of course, I don't know if you know that, but Kaiser has 100,000 people in Southwest Washington who will now go to Legacy instead of to Peace Health. So that will be a much larger footprint in that part of our community.
Yeah.
And Kaiser actually sends computer parts and such to Empower Up. Okay.
That's it.
Okay, great. Rich.
I have an update this month.
No update.
I used my allotment.
Any questions for the City of Vancouver? Okay, great. Department of Ecology.
Okay, I'll save mine until my presentation.
Okay.
Should I start?
Yeah, I think, well, what would be the group's wishes here? Go ahead now. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So we're updating the state solid and hazardous waste plan, and thank you so much for letting me come today. I have a short presentation with a little bit of background about the plan. And then what I really want to get to is your input. I have some broad questions that Ecology wants to ask our local governments. And hopefully you should have gotten in your packet this little solid waste thing. And it has on the last page, if you want it in front of you, the questions that I'm going to ask. And just on this addendum for meeting participants. So I'll just go over, you can stop me anytime. We're basically, there's 5 planners for Washington State. I have the Southwest region, the prettiest region, I think. So I represent Clark, Clallam to Clark and Skamania. And so I've been to 5 counties so far to their SWACs and asked these same questions and got great feedback so far about the direction they want for the state plan. And so I'll just go through my presentation, and then we'll get started. So why plan for solid and hazardous waste? We plan because of the 7095, those, and 7105 are the statutes that tell us that the state will make a 20-year plan and that we'll update it every 5 years. And the statute also tells us that we'll put our priorities towards waste reduction, and then followed by recycling as a second priority, and then safe disposal as a third priority. And how are we going to plan? Well, we have a vision that we created from statute, but also from stakeholders through a lot of input. And so we'll take that vision, we'll make steps, and we'll account for where we are now, including all the diversity throughout the state, what needs to be, we'll look and ask what needs to be improved, what's working, and then we want to get the expertise from all our stakeholders so that we can create a great plan.
Julie?
Yes.
Who are the stakeholders? Could you identify them?
So the stakeholders are anybody that has an interest in solid and hazardous waste. So our haulers, our local governments, we're doing the presentation for the state solid waste board. We're doing our local governments. Any community member that has an interest in solid waste, we want to do get input from them, and there'll be lots of opportunities for them to do that. So our plan update goals, we're going to keep our vision because that came from statute and from stakeholders and direction. And then we're going to, again, we're going to address our diverse system and look at all the different circumstances across Washington. And then in the end, we want to have a guide that states can, that local governments can really use when it's time to update their plan, or any time in between. They can take the state plan and they can find what they need that makes it useful for their situation. And so we want it to be pertinent for anybody in the solid waste or hazardous waste industry. And here's a brief history. We started in 1972 with our first plan, which was mostly to close open dumps. And then in 1980, we focused on hazardous waste. And then in 1989, we passed that Waste Not Washington Act. And so 1991 was that first plan after that. In 1992, we had a separate hazardous waste plan. And then it wasn't until 2004 that we did that first Beyond Waste plan, which combined both. And then in 2009, it was 5 years from that first plan, and so we just did minor updates. And that leads us to where we are today. So again, a little bit more about that Beyond Waste plan. That's just another name for the state plan. And we had extensive initial planning with lots of input from people, and those people that gave us inputs told us to focus on areas that have large amounts of waste and risky waste streams, and we came up with this together with our partners, established this vision, which was we can transition to a society where wastes are viewed as inefficient and where most wastes and toxic substances have been eliminated. This will contribute to environmental, economic, and social vitality. So more about what's in there. So we have five main initiatives, which are the industries, working with industries to reduce waste, working on moderate risk waste, working on organics, construction and demolition. We always want to be measuring our progress. The plan is about 90 pages. It has a lot of milestones in there and a lot of information on our Beyond Waste website that is helping us monitor how far we've come. And then, of course, we look at the hazardous waste system overall and the solid waste system overall. And then here's one look. Again, there's lots of information online that gives us tells us how far we've come. This is 2004 to 2012, and it shows that this is, so recurrent hazardous waste, this is the regulated industries that are regular users of hazardous materials in their business practices. And this shows that hazardous waste generation has decreased slightly since 2004, or amount recycled has remained fairly constant.
Do you think that's because of the downturn of the economy, or because they're getting better at what they're doing?
I think that's a good question. I think there you can see that there could be that downturn right there where it goes down.
It actually went up from 2009 to 11.
Yeah, so you have a downturn.
That was it.
Economy down.
Mm-hmm. It was the end of the recession, but I don't know that we felt the end.
You know? A lot of products have been replaced by non-hazardous materials.
Yeah, hopefully. Yes, absolutely. And then one more, another look. So solid waste. So Washington has made some progress in reducing waste disposal and increasing recycling since Beyond Waste. This is just one look, 2004 to 2011, and you can see similar, possibly a building boom in there and possibly a downturn again. Some things we don't always know exactly what's happening, but these are the decline, of course, is a national trend. What happened there?
So on that last one, what was solid waste recovered? What is your definition of that?
So that's recycling and other ways to recycle.
Okay, so that's reuse, recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you call it that?
Solid waste recovered instead of solid waste, instead of recycling. I think they're counting any other diversion that's not recycled.
So if we could go back to that slide just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So solid waste recovered reached a peak in 2010 and then declined in 2011.
It's a little hard to
it's
see.
It's a little higher. The green
is higher. Oh, yeah. The green goes up.
The green is going up.
Yeah.
And
okay.
The,
I see.
Yeah.
It's easy to transpose.
Sorry, it's not that easy to see on there. I apologize.
I'm sure it's easier to see than my bifocals are accommodating here. So, solid waste disposed is declining for 2011. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the graph looks good.
Yeah. It looks good, and part of that can be because of all the efforts toward repackaging.
Yeah.
It can be all kinds of things that prove success.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the program.
Absolutely.
So it is an encouraging trend.
Yes. And then one more graph. This one has population on there as well. So that second steady line is population. So population is straight across. And so if you look at total waste generation, especially over a longer time period, so this is 1999, it's the total waste generation has not gone down. It continues to go up. What we're recovering is also going up. It's another way to look at it.
And when we say recovered, we mean reused, recycled, everything that goes into that.
That's how they're counting it, yeah. Okay, so my update process again, I'm going to get some input from you today, and then we're going to put what people said together and come up with some draft documents. We're going to give people another opportunity to give any kind of input they want on those draft documents, and we'll make a draft plan, and then another opportunity for people to comment, and then we are targeting December 2014, but it's a public process and we're not tied to that date. We can, however we need to go. If it takes longer, it takes longer. So those are our general timelines. And we also hope that if anybody missed this meeting or anybody has anything more to say, then we have a survey online that asks questions, and then we'll also have, anybody can contact me. We have a list. If they want the links, I'm going to give them to you, but you can always email me.
Is this a process that you've utilized before?
Not exactly like this. Like how asking or going out to our SWACs is new. That's the new part, is trying to get broad direction in the very beginning. We don't usually do it that way. But we do a very public process at the 2009. It wasn't part of that update, but they still did a public process to get input.
And so in the state of Washington, how many comments were assembled?
In 2009? I sure don't know, but I can look and find out. I'll get back to you.
Just be curious.
I think a lot. We had a lot of input. So I can definitely get back to you.
And how did people know tonight that you were seeking input for this region?
How did your members know?
No. How do you, I'm guessing that because this is a public forum is why you came to gain input beyond us.
Beyond it being on your agenda, I didn't let people know. Like in the public, you mean? I just did it like through Anita, just to get on this, ask the SWACs if I can come. That's how I've been doing it. So, yeah.
Didn't you in 2009 have a workshop at the reach out there to water resource? Wasn't there a solid waste workshop in 2009?
Oh, could be. I didn't do the update. I'm not sure, but I can find out if that's how they did it.
There was one public meeting, I think.
There will definitely be some public meetings about it.
Yeah, it was, and there was quite a few people there.
I think Beryl Fernandez came down. She'll be there.
She's
actually. I just want to ask the group, I'm a little bit unprepared for comments tonight. And I wanted to see if there were others that felt a little unprepared to provide feedback.
Yeah, I think it's so important to be able to provide you with thoughtful, kind of cohesive feedback and not just bounce a lot of ideas off of you. So I'd hope that we could have some input, that maybe we could have a meeting where we actually talk about what we think about having a collective input. Mm-hmm. And we might not agree on absolutely everything, but I mean, the major principles, I'm sure that we could come to some consensus about improvements we'd like to see. And I did have some questions, too, when I looked at the Beyond Waste initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
I have quite a number of questions about that process, and I don't think it would necessarily be productive to do an hour of that or half an hour of that. Here is an example of something I looked at. Under Eliminate Industrial Waste, your partnership with industry sectors, I think that's really important. So the recommendation is pollution prevention planning to reduce toxics. And I think that is an important step. If we don't have as effective a plan in place as we'd like to have, but then I would want to know what agency would do that planning and how they would communicate in advance with the business sectors. And I'd want to know, where did you have business sector at the table, and those kinds of questions.
Absolutely. And this and these the plan, like I said, is 90 pages, so it does have it has all the milestones and recommendations in there. And so this is just a snippet of it for what would fit on a focus sheet. And so this is just part of the plan. And so absolutely we'll have business people absolutely part of the process. And they were before too. And so my goal tonight isn't to put anybody on the spot. What I've been doing is to just go around and then we just kind of, everybody gets a chance. I kind of ask an open-ended question. Everybody gets a chance to give their feedback. And then if people, like yesterday we did Lewis County and somebody came up, a hauler came up to me afterwards and said, I don't like really speaking at meetings, and so I'm going to email you my thoughts and I'm going to think about it. And I said, that's great. It's just an opportunity for people. We thought it might be a nice way for people to just kind of share what they think would be they want to see in there. And so it's kind of across the spectrum. And citizens, some people that are, some people at FLACS oftentimes just have one interest, and so they say, I really want to make sure you don't forget composting or whatever it is. And so
what I would just like to stop and say, we've had quite a bit of thought process this year on what our responsibilities are and how we should approach it. And so I want to put this out there and feel free to make adjustment recommendations. But each of us, as we heard going around, represents a different area, and with that, we have a responsibility to not speak for ourselves. We are not here for ourselves. So this isn't as if, Jeannie can talk about what happens at her house and I can talk about what happens. We certainly could, but it would be somewhat irresponsible from the approach that we've tried to take this year. And so therefore, certainly I would expect Rem would make some contacts to people in Southeast Clark County and Jack in Southwest. And, we're very fortunate here to have a couple of elected officials. And I think they will understand the importance of making sure they're representing and speaking on behalf of those people and reasons why they are here. Does anyone have another thought process in approaching this?
Well, I think cumulatively, this is a very active SWAC, county SWAC group. and has been for 20 years or longer. And the quality of volunteers that we get here are absolutely dedicated, fabulous. So we do like to comment on the bigger picture plans. And I'm not so worried about going back and asking the city of Vancouver what are my specific instructions. But I'm sorry, that was inappropriate. They have nothing else to think of. Nobody else, if you answer 911 and you chuckle, you know, there's big trouble.
Oh my God.
Scratch them. But this group, I have confidence in our discussions and our, input. And this group, I will tell you, is some of the most practically knowledgeable. So I'd love to hear what our group as a whole has to say. But it's good to know what's going on. And did you say it's a 60-page or a 90-page?
90-page. And I have one with me.
And Stephen, you had a comment. I don't point the information out here.
Yeah, I did. I can't remember what it was. No. I was just wondering, are we going to come back to this at a later time?
That's what I would like to
say. Yeah, and actually I was going to suggest that, because we can go through the questions tonight, and then next month, if you want to talk about it some more, I mean, we can certainly do that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And you still have your input process.
I think we need to have some time to come away. And
what we're talking about is the state's plan.
Yep.
That is similar to our solid waste plan for Clark County that we're trying to go through now.
Right.
And how many meetings have we scheduled for that? And there's like 12 or 24 or something like that.
A lot.
Yeah.
I think it's important to come back. And then, you know, I just want to reiterate, and this has been part of the ongoing conversation, is that, you know, we are charged with the appropriate research. We are a recommending body to the Clark County Commissioners. And so our discussions are reviewed for those recommendations. And I just want to be especially cognizant. We can't wear our individual hats. And so it would be good, I think, to put this on. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, they're right here. So usually I just do the question, and then Beth helps take down everything. And do you not want me to do my process?
I think you should go ahead and go through it tonight, and
then
we can have a more detailed conversation. Next one,
I've got a couple questions. Sure. I could write a book on this, experiences over the last 25 years. Our recommendations, if we were to put them in writing, can you tell us where they would go and what reaction would happen? What would be the response?
Yeah, they are. If you put it in writing, then they're going to go, Janine. These two women on the front page are from headquarters, and Janine and Chris Chapman are the people that, along with other headquarters folks, are going to look at all the comments, and they're going to put all the information that people say, what people say online. It's all going to be available. It's not going to be specific, because that's not how we're gathering it in this instance. So it will go to her, and they'll put it all together and try to figure out, this is what our county said were the priorities. This is what our counties say should be in the plan. So that's the idea, to give us direction, to make sure that we have everything in there that our counties think is important.
And so I'm just going to interject. Has this been something that the staff has gone through?
No.
Okay. I don't want to get the cart above the, you know, ahead of the horse here. And I feel really uncomfortable moving forward without having appropriate time to go through, unless somebody completely disagrees with me.
I think we ought to know what her questions are.
Well,
so
the questions are in print, so you have them in your packet.
Is it just for free?
Yeah, it's just the two. It's two main questions, and then my last one is in any overall advice to ecology. So just the first one is, what do you need in the state solid and hazardous waste plan to make it most useful for you? And then the next one is another question, thinking about an ideal solid and hazardous waste management system. Statewide or in your area, what are some key elements and actions to include in the update? So these are just your ideas about what you'd like in there. And it actually is a... it's up to you.
And these meetings are recorded, and so I can appreciate that you're here okay. and you have a recorder, but I think we could adequately get those responses back to you.
Okay.
And especially when we get to number three, we'll probably, we may even have a document mm-hmm. that we'd want to submit in conjunction with Anita.
Right.
You know,
and staff. Yeah.
Telling us what they think is important and what we think is important. I think it's good.
Does anyone else have any comments on this? I guess the reasons why I would rather...
Lisa, I've got a comment. I would just want to say this, that I would hope that the Department of Ecology would keep in mind to sway this a little bit toward helping business, to be business friendly, to encourage the entrepreneur to come into the state and set up a business. Mm-hmm. This would include educating. It would include compromising to work with business owners to help them so that they can comply with the regulations.
Great. Thank you. I mean, that's exactly the kind of stuff, that's the exact kind of information I
think. This would include having an ombudsman that would be not appointed by Department of Ecology, but be elected or chosen by a combination of business, state, agencies, so that it keeps it out of the political realm.
Okay, thank you.
That can happen.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
I've been there.
Thank you.
So can we talk about the process then? Because I'm not real sure exactly what you want to do.
What I am proposing and what I am hearing the group say is that we would like to take these questions. I think everybody needs to be prepared at the next meeting.
Right.
And bring your, you know, prepare. If you're prepared, response is fine. But I do believe it's really important. I would be remiss if I just spoke off the top of my head. I can't tell you the last time that I spoke with one of my mayors over one of these things in my area. And I think the conversation, is important because then I'm just speaking off the top of my head, and that's the very fear of what happens when SWACs maybe don't take something as carefully as what this group has taken. So I'm hearing that across the board, but if someone wants to interject differently, please prepare your comments, and if you have no comment at the next meeting, fine.
We can have comments beyond the scope of the question.
You can have comments beyond the scope of the question, and I certainly encourage you. You are free as a person to, you know, as a citizen, to contact Julie directly as well, independently.
So where is this 90-page document?
It's online, and I have a few copies, I believe. But otherwise, I can send you a copy. We have some hard copies, but it's all online. This is the 2009 plan, so it's got all kinds of details.
Yeah.
You can have this one if someone wants.
Some of us older members actually have that in our...
So this, and you, and I can, like I said, I can send you one if you email me your address. And then we have a survey online that's the exact same questions, and it's just, you don't have to put your name on there. It's just asking you the exact same questions, and you go through a thing, and it talks about the solid waste plan. So if you would rather give your comments online through a survey, it's all automated online, so you can also do that. And or you can email me your comments. You can. Those are the two ways, pretty much.
Or
you can write your comments and give them to Anita, and she can give them to me. It sounds like maybe that's what you want to do. If you want to just do that's great. Totally fine.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, Julie, your email isn't on here.
No, it's julie.robertson@ and I have some business cards. Oh, at ecy.wa.gov. So the same ending, but julie.robertson. Right. But I have a ton of business cards.
Do you have cards?
I do. Good. Yes. So great. I mean, thank you very much for letting me speak, and that's great.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Any other questions about how we're going to approach that? Okay. So, project updates. Go right in, Mike.
So I've got three things tonight. First, it's a Leichner master plan, and I haven't seen you in a while. Ma'am, I haven't met you. I'm Mike Davis. I do solid waste projects for the county, closed landfills and transfer stations, contracts for the recycling. So one of our major projects that we've got going right now is the master planning out at Leichner. In July, we released an RFP. We had a number of proposals come back in. I can't tell you exact details until the contract is actually signed, but we did select one vendor. It's a team of consultants that will provide these services for us, and the services are basically public outreach and then the master planning of the site itself to determine what the best use of the Koski property is, which was the large chunk of light industrial property that we purchased. It is clean near the landfill. Potential uses for the landfill. And then the Leichner's, after the fact, also donated us about 8 acres to the north of residential property that's, at this time, it's landlocked. And we don't know what that can be used for, but this process will likely help us somewhat ferret that out also.
Did you say it's zoned residential?
The parcel north of the ponds and 99th, where 99th is going to go through, is actually zoned residential. It's
Is it built out?
It's like a giant hole.
Yeah. Say, isn't that where there's a pond right there?
It actually fills up with water during the winter, yeah. And so...
I mean, cheaper to build a bridge over there and just...
Well, yeah, at this point, I don't know what we're going to do. Okay, so I did have
that's why we're master planning.
That's why we're master planning. And I'm
talking about the road.
Yeah, it probably will be a bridge.
We don't know what all is going to happen there either. That's up for debate.
Is it single family, multifamily?
It's R5 or R7. I can't remember.
Low density residential.
Yeah, but it's essentially landlocked at this point, and that's part of the reason the Leichners wanted to donate it. 99th is 8 to 10 years out at this point on the county TIP. We did acquire the right-of-way for that as part of this, and the right-of-way basically runs right...
So the right-of-way for 99th is acquired now?
Mm-hmm. Just through the landfill.
Just for the landfill, and not the private property owners?
The next... parcel is owned by the Kuhnhausen family, and I'm sure they're aware that it's coming. But we are really close to being able to put this before the board. I think I'm about 2 weeks away from the staff report being made public, so we'll be able to say more in a couple of weeks, but I'm pretty confident that sometime shortly after the first of the year that we will be engaging the neighbors and going out on a pretty major public outreach campaign. What that'll look like right now, I can't say. I know we're going to have at least a couple meetings out there. We may have more determining on what kind of turnout we get, what kind of feedback we get. So at this point, though, we plan to have two of them. And from there... there'll be, reuse options and analysis, economic analysis, market analysis. I can say that some really good team members were involved in this from the economics front and the market front. I believe we'll come out with a pretty good idea of what can be done there. And simultaneously also, I'm on the work group for the expansion of 94th Street. So 94th is going to be widened all the way from Patton Parkway up to 99th Street. And so that whole area, that whole corridor is going to change by 215. And so kind of our goal is to have something in place as far as, you know, a plan for the site about the same time the road comes online.
And is that the road waste connections on? Is that what you're talking
about?
Well,
yeah. Okay. Yep. And there's some talk of some roundabouts. There's some talk of lights.
Roundabouts?
They're good for those big trucks.
So.
Yeah, big trucks look.
It's really interesting. There's been no decisions or recommendations made by that working group also, but both designs are on the table. But the improvements to the intersection at 94th and Patton on both sides, they're going to be great. They're going to have turn lanes like this on either side, so you're going to have really good access. I mean, those improvements right there are really going to make the intersection a lot safer for the Waste Connections trucks, and that road is really busy. So right now, we're, like I say, we're a couple of weeks away. I'm thinking the 29th or the 5th, it'll be on the consent agenda for the county commissioners. And shortly thereafter, there'll be sort of a pause while these guys build up to start their work.
Is it in the city? So it'll be on the county consent agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you got a request for proposal for planning.
Correct.
And then they're going to take input from all the neighbors and people in that area, and then they're going to come up with a plan.
There will also be business people involved, I mean, developers involved, and kind of helping develop, you know, the plan. Like I said, there's two different economics folks that are on the team members. So, I mean, realtors will be involved in sort of a... there'll be a kind of an internal meeting for those folks to kind of go over all that, what the potential is for that site. And the other thing that you should be aware of, and I brought this up before, is that just north of the properties we acquired is the contaminated Fleischer property. We did get approval to apply for an integrated planning grant to actually evaluate that site. As far as, you know, how contaminated it is, what will it cost to clean it up, what funds are available. And as part of this RFP, we actually included that application process so that the successful candidate will actually prepare that application. And if that's awarded, they'll be the lead for that process also. So
is the source of contamination... from Leichner?
It was a guy who was a scrapper. We really don't know.
Okay.
What was the guy's name that was out there before? It was Dressler?
Dressler used to.
It's PCBs. It's pretty contained through the first kind of studies that the family had done out there. But part of the problem is it's so overgrown that we're going to have to get in there and, you know, clean the vegetation off first just to do some more sampling. And
see where the bodies are.
Yeah, so, you know, it's an additional 10 acres of light industrial property, and the grant itself is designed to help municipalities make decisions on, you know, what to do with these blighted properties when there's no money really to clean them up, and the family has zero money to clean this place up. And so we're working with them to obtain an access agreement, and that paperwork is out there to their attorneys or attorney. And so we should have all that in place by the time this contract is executed. So that's my update on Leichner. Do you guys have any more questions on that piece?
Well, it'd be nice to know what the plan is. I mean, we got a request for proposal for a plan. So
that'll be down. That we're a ways away from
okay.
that.
Okay. Well,
no.
You're talking about doing something, and then it's just like, well,
I can share the scope of work after we've got everything in place and kind of give you a better idea of how it's going to roll.
I'm getting a feel for that, but I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah, we, you know, purchasing has some basic rules. We can't talk about who was selected, who put in, how many, how much, until the contract's signed. So we're close on that piece.
And that's just for a plan?
That's just for the plan and applying for the grant, yeah.
And then after there's a plan, then it needs to get funded somehow.
Yes.
Correct, yeah. I mean, the idea is that when you master plan a site is that you say this is its best, highest and best use, and then there's that next one, which would be the implementation. And at this point, we had a number of vendors sort of go beyond what the scope of what we were asking for and go into that phase, but I mean, we really only are willing to spend about $200,000 on this right now. And then we'll see what's out there to help go beyond that, economic development grants and those types of things.
Did the RFP outline a schedule?
Yes.
Can't say.
Oh, I can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's one year with 2 6-month extensions.
Great.
So essentially, we should have the vast majority of the information by about this time next year. And I mean, if there is additional work to be done, if the grant is awarded, the contract will be amended, and the grant period actually runs 2 years for Fleischer. And so that they're sort of this on the same contract, but they're different tasks.
What's available? Gary was talking about brownfields.
That's limited to a certain area in Vancouver.
Yeah, and I just got the scope back on them. We asked them to evaluate. I'm familiar with the state grants that are available, but I'm not really familiar with economic development and federal brownfield stuff. So they did, in the scope, list a number of grants that they're going to evaluate also. So, I mean, like I said, once we get to a certain point, we'll be able to share that with you. The next one is the transfer station feasibility study. Is that correct?
Yep.
I know the three of my rooms. I'm blind anyway. You know I can't see that.
Okay.
Transfer station feasibility studies, we're getting closer. We're down to evaluating a couple of sites in comparing that to expanding it at CTR. You would be surprised how little industrial property is available in this county now. I mean, it is genuinely sad. And what is obviously worth a lot of money, and they've, you know, most of it's up near Ridgefield and in large blocks. And we were evaluating 7 to 10 acre blocks, and I will tell you that those are hard to come by. What is available is unfortunately close to McMansions. And or else being held for high-end development. Some of the primest property out there was actually high-end retail type stuff in and around the areas where we're looking.
Those aren't typically classified as industrial.
No, but that's unfortunately,
retail and
correct.
Commercial.
But what we ran into is the industrial was right next to the high-end retail, and this is and next to the McMansions, and if you go across the road, there were some larger blocks up there, and we've really only found one property that we think is doable, and that road is not improved. You're going to hear, it's a really sad story for this county. There needs to be more industrial property in this county. And unfortunately,
what are you looking for?
Siting a fourth transfer station and or expanding CTR. That's basically what the feasibility study is about. And so, to me, I guess when we drove around and looked at these properties, there, you know, like I said, we had a number of areas that we're targeting. And mostly up the corridor, the I-5 corridor. But even if you get away, I mean,
there just isn't much left anymore.
It's a problem. So, citing a fourth transfer station, if I recall, is part of the contract with
CRC, Columbia Resource Company. Yeah. I won't use
Columbia
CRC.
Columbia Resource. And actually, it's in even a time frame. I think it's there's a recommended time frame.
For the study.
For the siting. But here's the thing. If due to no fault of theirs, we're unable to find industrial land because there's a shortage, it's important that we not engage in any penalty or whatever against them by trying to enforce the terms of the contract that that are out of their hands. The solution is out of their hands. So I'm sure that we'd be sensitive to that.
Yeah, unlike the third transfer station, which did carry penalties and was required, this is just a feasibility study. And the idea being is we know we're going to have growth up that corridor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obvious. And so,
have you picked out an area for it, Mike?
In general, we had. And like I said, what we did is we went through a GIS study and started identifying. That's where we started. We with like about 23 or 25 parcels. And then there were environmental considerations. Were there wetlands? Were there ingress and egress? How close were they to residential? There's a list of criteria that we went down, and we'll obviously
that
share.
We'll talk about later.
Yeah, this is coming up. That we actually utilized these criteria from King County and the EPA to go through this. And so,
what county?
King. We didn't use all of King County's criteria.
We took the best part.
But it was really, to me, it was a real eye-opener. I mean, when we went through it, at least in Washougal, Washougal still had quite a bit of industrial property in the port itself and still has some out there. But as you go up that corridor, I mean, it's really amazing where little patches of it are that just aren't even practical. I mean, we drove down a GO trail, and in this one case, you drop down towards the 5, and this was just out by Battleground, and there were these two industrial properties on either side next to the freeway, and, you know, they were 5 to 7 acres, something like that. There was no sewer.
Infrastructure.
No infrastructure at all, and the road was substandard. I mean, and you're right next to the houses. And so why is it even industrial unless you're going to just level the houses and you know, really build it? And so these are, as far as a planning standpoint for our community in the future, those are going to be some hard choices for our planners. Because if we're going to have jobs here, we really need to make some changes.
There's no excess land left over from the building of I-5 for the state homes.
Not really. What was left, if you go up, like I said, you can go to the right off of kind of the LaCenter Ridgefield area there, and there's some urban holding or industrial holding that was all available about 5 years ago when I went up there, but there's kind of some, like big box store distribution things have gone in there. And the types of industries that are not going to welcome us. And like I said, some of those remaining parcels that they had left down on the right-hand side, or would be the east side, they abutted on to the south. They abutted very large, nice homes. And once again, if I can see your roof and you can see mine, that's not a good situation for siting a solid waste facility. And given the likelihood that they're probably going to sue us, we didn't think either of those were going to work. And then if you go across the other side towards the Ridgefield side, which is actually in the city of Ridgefield, then you do have some large spaces left. But those folks are smart enough to know that I want to sell it all at once, and I want top dollar, and it's
All that Tennessee, Richfield.
Yeah, I know.
They've extended their land there, right, way out.
So, but that's where we're at right now.
The Indian casino.
What's you ain't looking Battleground?
Battleground has zero. I mean, in fact, when I was out at the council, the former community, whatever, it's a Clark Economic Region critic.
Columbia River Economic Development.
Right. The former director was out there the same night I was out there for the yard debris interlocal, and one of the counselors asked about why is no one coming here to build industrial sites? Well, there's nothing there.
The study was done, what, a year? Was it a year ago or a year and a half?
Our study?
The industrial sites.
Oh.
By the CREDC.
They're still working on most of it because, for those very reasons, inadequate infrastructure, including water, sewer
gas,
whatever.
Transportation.
Else. Exactly. What kind of industrial? Are you looking for heavy
We're
industrial?
We're looking for heavy. Heavy.
Heavy.
And so where we're at with it right now is the PBS engineers, is the folks that are doing it, and they're down to actually talking to the public works director, community development folks in Ridgefield about what's the permitting and siting criteria in this area.
Even the port.
Well, the port's over here.
No, I mean the port of Ridgefield.
Oh, this is in the
That's
port.
Where we're talking.
Yeah, okay. We're actually in the port. Yeah. So you go up and you kind of go through the port. Then there's a frontage road, which turns into a goat trail. It's called Tim Road, T-I-M-M. And there was one large parcel over here that was doable. And they were willing to subdivide at a reasonable price. But there you go again. You have a goat trail, so you're going to have to improve the road for the heavy truck traffic. And, I mean, it all adds up.
You know, developers do it all the time. The county requires them to, you know, put the curbs and gutters and sidewalks, stormwater system, extend of water and stormwater and, you know.
What can we do to help here?
At this point, I think that you need to know the study's coming. We're not done with it, but it's, I would say it's looking bleak that we're going to be able to site in justify a facility out there at this point. The main issues are not just the siting issues, but usage issues. I mean, will it be used by the public? Will it serve the hauling company? And we're just not seeing that nexus out there at this point. If you really look at what we've done out in Washougal, we're still not open more than a couple of days a week out there to the public. It serves the haulers for Camas and Washougal.
Who was on at the time when we approved that one? I know you were.
I was.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So if you
But doesn't one. That indicate then that there isn't enough solid waste to justify another transfer station?
I think
there will be.
There will be.
There will be.
That's the thing. You've got to, and if we wait longer, there's going to be less
land. It'll get harder.
It'll get harder and harder.
So, I didn't mean to imply that we should abandon the effort, but it may not fit in right now to the time frame we expected.
Right, and actually with the economic downturn that we had talked about earlier, tonnages decline during a period, so we're actually in a better spot now than we would have been. But we still need to keep on the planning process.
What about International Paper, Chalachi Prairie? That's heavy industrial.
You're getting pretty far out there, though.
Yeah.
That's a nasty road for a truck.
Yeah. You got to keep in mind that, you know,
it's got real
we've got to weigh everything when we go into this, and so I'm.
There you go.
You know, I'm trying to prepare you for where we're going to, when we sit down with this, what we need to discuss. And Richard's right. I mean, typically we'll look out 20 years, and that's what we're going to need to do is, here's what we've got today, which are three facilities. You know, one we know is two are basically underutilized at this point. And we have all this usage and tonnage going to basically the central one, which is overwhelmed. And so we need to make decisions about central and if this fourth transfer station is the answer. I mean, can we continue to serve with the three moving forward? And so that's kind of where we're at with that. And right now I don't have the answers because we don't have the final report, but we're getting closer. And I think within a couple months we're going to have it.
So what's the hauler? How's the hauler feel about that?
Well, from a usage standpoint, and Scott, you can chime in on this, they were not thrilled about going out to Ridgefield because of our experience in Washougal. Is that pretty much Castor?
It was difficult, extremely difficult.
You know, they
went in the Port of Camas, Washougal, outright permitted use.
Yes.
It would make sense to make one a little further north, but, you know, I know the transfer station there on 117th, I mean, you don't want to hit it sometimes because it's lined up all the way on the highway.
Yeah. So we do have a kind of a plan that's been sitting there for a couple of years on actually to expand that. But part of that is going out and saying, is it justified to expand here or do we just need to build another facility? And so that's what we're going to be coming back to you and asking. And so it's going to be a big decision. It's coming. I don't want to rush it. We shouldn't rush it. We should talk about it quite a bit and go over everything. And part of the siting criteria that we're going to put into the plan should be our basis for making, you know, that decision.
Right. Okay. So
is there any chance of going to the fathers to be and selecting a site and asking them to change the zoning for it? Well, let's talk a couple years down the pike. You know.
We'd get creamed. We'd be sued immediately. We're better off just to find a spot. Now, the one thing that you could say or recommend is it would be additional work under the contract. In other words, there would be a rate associated with it, but they could go buy the property that is the second or site. I mean, that could be done. I don't think we're going to get a recommendation to go build a fourth one now. But if we're worried about not having land in the future, that is an option to consider.
Jamie has a question, and I kind of want to move on to one more topic, right?
Just a comment. How we got in this position, and I mean both City of Vancouver and Clark County, and I can say this having sat on a planning commission for 5 years, there was a period of time where as jobs were moving overseas, we realized we needed, that we had a lot of land zoned heavy industrial, but the kinds of heavy industry were being moved overseas. So what we had is this land, and then we did do some corrective zoning. Some of what we did wasn't very good because we took light industrial and converted it to commercial, and really a lot of things like technology and that sort of thing need a light industrial. So as manufacturing has changed in this country and a lot's gone overseas, that's how we kind of find ourselves in this position. We weren't on an ongoing basis reserving more for industrial or heavy industrial. But that whole trend is changing again now. And so within a couple of years, we're going to see some, I think, pretty big corrections. So this isn't forever. The shortage, it won't be forever.
Yeah. I just have a little comment. You know, I only know about Battleground. And I've been beat up on this one too many times. But it just irks the crap out of me is the city has got their 20-year plan, just like we do, for their zoning. And then they get their pretty little fancy color-coded map of what the zoning is. And they lock into it. You know, this is what you're going to be. And it's like, you know, now, you know, one of the big things is the retails with the apartments or lofts
above them.
Multiple use, mixed use. And we can do that with other zonings. you know, it doesn't have to be locked in commercial center. It can be commercial center, light industrial, you know, a blend instead of black and white.
So this is a plea for some more reasonable zoning explanation.
Flexibility. I mean, as you know, I've been told, well, it's a mandate by the state. Well, the mandate by the state doesn't say that it has to be black and white. It can be gray.
Right. Okay. Let's go ahead and try to wrap it up.
So here's one last one. I'll go real quick. As building is on the rebound, our timing is really good here. Within the contract, we had a provision that the Waste Connection CRC, Columbia Resource Company, would install a construction and demolition processing line. When the economy crashed, we held off on that deadline because tonnage nearly dropped to less than 2,000 tons a year. Seriously, we had 30,000 drop, as Anita mentioned. We've dropped 30,000 tons in a short few years. And a lot of that was that commercial and demo waste. But sometime this fall, we'll be turning the key on a new demo line out of Westman. So once that gets in place, we'll, if you'd like to have a tour of that, we'll make that happen.
Absolutely. Right.
So that's it for me tonight.
Thank you. Good job.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
What's the tip fee going to be for the demo?
We actually have a CMU right now.
60 something. Level.
Yeah.
But if you've got a big amount, don't wheel a deal with you.
Okay. There you go. We have the
flexibility.
Thank you. Thank God. Appreciate it. All right. Anita.
Okay, well, what's on the, for the solid waste management plan update is two appendices that's in the plan. And we got a copy of that one. So this is what is now Appendix G in the current plan that may be changing, but the first one just kind of it's basically a timeline that captures the milestone for our solid waste management system, our programs, and the items that have been added are the ones that are in red on the right. I mean, obviously it's a timeline, so when we're updating it for things that have happened since the previous update in 2008-2009. So most of what we try to capture is either kind of very important events that happen that impact the system, or programs, or, you know, kind of milestones. So what's been added is some information about a U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2008 about the Solid Waste Management Authority. And actually, that was sort of good news in terms of flow control for local governments, especially local governments that own their own facilities. It kind of eased up on the flow control regulations. It didn't impact us so much, but yeah.
How many years prior was the previous decision?
It was Carbone, and I think it was in here. It was 1994. Okay. So anyway, that's just kind of an incidental one.
Did they list the circumstances? Because it says under specific circumstances.
Basically, the circumstance was more or less government-owned facilities. That if it was a government-owned facility, that you did not necessarily that you that you did have some flow control that you could implement. And from our system perspective, because it's a contract and it's written into the contract, we're basically okay. And then in 2009, we had the lock closure on the Columbia River for 10 weeks. So that seemed like an important thing to document that happened. And during that period, we obviously were not barging. We We were trucking the waste to the Wasco landfill. Also, during that time, we had our first Facebook site for the recycling program. It's kind of a milestone for the sign of the times. 2009, the Wishugo Transfer Station opened. We made a lot of capital improvements to the sort line and to waste van, and I see a West van, and I see a typo. The eCycle Washington program starts, and drop-off sites become operational. CREAM transitions from a county program to a nonprofit, and some power-up, which Lisa was talking about earlier. And we conducted another waste stream analysis in 2009. So 2010 and 11, the waste stream analysis was completed. It kind of crossed the years. We purchased the Leichner landfill. The Green Neighbors program was launched, and we issued the yard waste curbside collection contract was executed, and the compressed natural gas. And then I skipped over 2011. The Clark County Green Business Program was implemented. So, it's kind of a waste system at a glance. But at any rate, so if anybody has anything that they think should be on the timeline, then let me know and we can certainly add it. And then, moving on to the next one, which
the next one is the siting criteria that's in the
Does anybody have any questions about the timeline and how that's used and what that means for a plan?
It's just part of the appendix, and it's just kind of capturing some important information.
What happened between G and L?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
What happened between G and L?
Oh, there's something else. We're not going in order,
okay,
so.
Okay.
Okay. So obviously, this is an important one, and The new language that's been added, it doesn't actually start until you get over to page 6. So it's underlined. Some language has struck through, but it's not really that much. And as Mike had mentioned, we used this siting guidelines when we went through the Wishugo transfer station process. So this is a very important component of our solid waste management plan. When we went through that process, this actually came under scrutiny during the lawsuit period. So we do need to make sure that it is what we want it to be, and that it makes sense and in terms of a process that it flows.
So your comments in red then reflect that learning process, Anita?
Yes. And what we did was, and again, we did look at some other jurisdictions of what they had included in their plans. We looked at, I think it was, we looked at King County, and then we also looked at the EPA had some siting guidelines that they used. So, actually, King County used the CPA guidelines, but they kind of consolidated them, so that's when we picked those up more. But those are the ones that have been added. And the EPA guidelines did not have the specific steps that we did, so what we did was we took the added language and inserted it under the appropriate step that we thought where it would fit in. So we can kind of walk through this. The first part is just the introduction, just the facility categories. We did add language about the Troutdale Aquifer, because there was the sole source designation of the Troutdale Aquifer for Clark County in 2006, which was after we completed the previous plan. And because it's a sole source designation, it basically means that we can have transfer stations, but we can't have landfills. We cannot have solid waste handling landfills in the county. So when we talk about the various facilities that can be sited, some of the facilities are impacted by that. And then on page 4 is kind of a visual of the information with regard to the categories, the types of facilities, which are on the left, and then the various areas that can be impacted, and then the shaded part would mean that if we were, for example, if we were going to site a hazardous waste facility and it was in a wetlands, then that would have to be mitigated in some form or fashion, or it could be, it would have to be dealt with. It might be a fatal flaw, or it could have to be dealt with. Doesn't make any sense to me. So questions about that? Okay.
We're on 5. Thank you. And not yet. Thank you. Keep going.
Well, based on this, it looks like Mike's got a lot of work to do.
He does, actually, which kind of takes us to the siting process. So this is divided up on, and this is on page 5. It's divided up into 8 steps that we go through. And as part of this feasibility study that's being done, once the study is done, then we'll have to go through and make sure that it is adhering to the 8 steps and that we have covered all of our criteria in looking at either a new site or site improvements to CTR, and just to make sure that, you know, we are following our plan guidelines when we're doing this. So for step 1, we did not have any language changes, and that's true for step 2 and 3. For 4, we did. We added some language. So step 4 is called a broad site screening. And the criteria that would basically be, you know, kind of like fatal flaws or exclusionary would be wetlands and floodplains, endangered or protective flora and fauna habitats, protected sites of historical, archaeological, or cultural significance, prime agricultural land, parks and preserves, and proximity to airports. So those are kind of, don't look there.
Yes, please. So this language seems to me to be a little bit weak in the sense. It says, exclusionary criteria are often defined by federal, state, or local laws or regulations and might exclude areas such as floodplains. So the 3 that I'm really concerned about are wetlands and floodplains.
Okay.
Protected sites of historical, archaeological, or cultural significance, mm-hmm. which, you know, I know we do have a lot of them, but many of them in our area are 6,000 years old. That's not unusual to find something that old, and that's prime archaeological research.
Right.
And then parks and preserves.
Okay.
So I'm just a little concerned that when it says might, Because it would be hard for me to imagine how that could be mitigated to be next to or encroaching on any of those.
Okay. What we can do is go back and look at the EPA recommendations, too.
Okay.
And see if...
And so I think, you know, to piggyback, because there's no definition. And so by whose terms is something prime agricultural land? Does prime agricultural land mean that it's been farmed for the last 100 years? Or does it mean that, oh gosh, it might be because... I think some definition, because you can almost exclude anything, which, you know, I guess the group needs to determine what are your wishes in providing a guiding hand, but it is rather nebulous.
Okay.
And I do want to indicate, too, that where it talks about local laws and regulations, the city of Vancouver does have an archaeological protection ordinance. I know because I helped make it. and so it might be a complication for land in Vancouver. Might be.
Right.
So in that case, the city law would kick in.
And that's actually why that sentence is in there. Because it can vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, absolutely. All right, any other comments about step four then? So basically what happens as we go through the steps is it just becomes kind of a narrower, more like a funnel that we're going through, where you have the sites and then you're gradually narrowing it down. So for step five, focused site screening, the language that has been added is facility-specific technical criteria are used to ensure that sites selected for evaluation as transfer station sites meet required engineering, operational, and transportation needs. These criteria should address the following issues: central location to collection routes, access to major transportation routes, site size requirements, sufficient space for on-site roadways, queuing, and parking, truck and traffic compatibility, ability for expansion, space for recycling, composting, and public education, buffer space, gently sloping topography, access to utilities, zoning designations, and requirements. So now we're talking about a specific type of facility and the requirements that would be associated with that review. So again, it's kind of like you're looking at a broad sites and then narrowing it down.
I have one comment in regards to at the very bottom where it says staff will recommend and SWAC will approve. We will recommend approval. We cannot approve.
That's good. Okay. And then for step number six, comparative site evaluations, which is, as Mike was talking about in the feasibility study that's being done now, that's basically where we're going to end up with is some alternatives and comparing those. The language that's been added is community-specific criteria addresses impacts that the facility may have on the surrounding community. These criteria are typically less technical in nature and incorporate local, social, and cultural factors. Examples of these criteria include environmental justice considerations.
What is the thing?
That you don't pick a poor neighborhood, for example, to put your facility in.
Wow.
That's probably the one that comes more readily to my mind. Impact on air quality, impact on the local infrastructure, adjacent land use, proximity to schools, churches, recreation sites, and residences, prevailing winds, number of residences impacted, presence of natural buffers, impacts on existing businesses, expansion capability, buffer zones and screening measures, traffic compatibility, impact on historical or cultural features, and impact on neighborhood culture.
So I'm thinking that these, again, are, and I see them in red, so I'm guessing these came...
It's new language.
This is new language, yeah. And this came from, the basis of this came from...
The EPA guidelines and King County Solid Waste Management Plan.
So... You know, here's the consideration. I guess I would wonder, gosh, how is this working out for them? You know, what is the historical lessons learned since these have been implemented? However, you know, when you say number of residences impacted, it doesn't say that there shall be, you know, 6 houses per acre or 60 houses per acre. This is another one of these lists that almost in any way, if you were a speech and debater, you could argue it either way.
But Lisa, this is to compare two or three sites. And right. One site may have one house that's right. impacted. Another site may have 300 homes. You're just listing and comparing the alternatives. And then based on all of these factors, you select one.
So you would not...
I think you need to know them. Do need those things in there, and they make consideration on why you pick one site over another.
Okay.
This is not saying that you're evaluating one site, you're either going to reject it or accept it. You're just saying we're comparing this site with another site and comparing all of these items and coming up with which one you think of.
I can follow that, I guess, but as an example, impact on neighborhood character could be very subjective.
Well, I think all of them.
Yeah,
so
that's my point.
But I mean, you've got to have some comparison, and this way, if you have it in writing, people know what you looked at. When a choice is made from one site to another, you can say, well, the environmental impacts on site B were better than site A, and this is why, because, you know, winds seem like kind of a small thing, but yes, it can be a big thing.
The comparison would be interesting in how. If you have 3 or 4 different sites, unless you quantify and put a number to these, so when you add them up, that one site
gets
more than the other scorecard on it, then how would you ever...
But in SWAT's evaluation, we could agree that where there was something subjective, we could kind of indicate among ourselves, if we're going to do a recommendation, what we think...
Are they important things?
Exactly.
And it doesn't say that you have to include each and every item there. It says these are examples of what you consider.
So I would certainly feel maybe slightly better that because of the importance and because we would make a recommendation that there might be some notation as a, oh gosh, I'm not sure how to make it more objective, but I'm striving for... How could we indicate that? I'm always concerned. This plan is meant so that somebody could pull it out, they could look at this, and they could know ahead of time, okay, we're planning on coming forward with this, or we want to be a part of this process, and here's how it's going to be applied. And I wouldn't want someone to be either exclusionary or think that, oh gosh, okay. Now's the time to have this discussion. All right.
But if you have nothing, then I think you're worse off.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. I just...
And so you look at any one of these, and a lot of them will probably be the, you know, comparable, but there may be one or two things that one site really is better than all of the rest of the sites, and that's the site you're going to recommend. And you can easily say, well, it's because of impact on air quality or whatever that one reason is why you picked the one site.
You know, maybe it would be helpful if I emailed out to everybody the EPA document, because it was it had a lot more information than this. So maybe that would at least be kind of the technical source document for this, and maybe even in our language refer to it as the technical source document, so that if we got into really detailed conversations or questions, that we would have like another level of resource to go to.
Okay.
Does that make, does that sound like it would be helpful?
It does, but then technically something, here's what comes to my mind. So we have these lists of considerations we can include, as Mr. Baker said. And so then it's kind of like we would do an evaluation process.
Right.
But then is it possible in referring to the technical document, we wouldn't really have as much latitude?
I think that's very possible.
Yeah,
yes.
So,
which is, I mean, this cuts both ways. You know,
it might snag you,
but it also gives you some latitude. Yeah.
Yes, based on what we went through with the West Hugo transfer station, how much is this out of line for the process we used for that?
This was the process we used without the additional language. And we've added the language just to kind of make it a little more definitive. I mean, because obviously it didn't even have the examples previously of the type of criteria that you would.
When you look at a heavy industrial site,
mm-hmm.
you have to look at the neighborhoods away from that site.
Right.
It's not that there's going to be a business right next door. Or in the case of the plastics guy out in West Hugo, he had his day in court. He was there at the hearings, he had his day in court.
Right.
Lost. I mean, it.
Well, I would say.
But he still slowed us down a lot.
It still slowed us down. I would say we did everything right to this comparative evaluation of some of this stuff down on the bottom down here. And, you know, but this is, I will agree with Anita, this is what we're getting from the federal authorities. King County, the largest in the state, they're funneling this down, and obviously they've had some recent experiences. I think Jamestown or whatever, they were trying to site a facility out there, finally got it built. I think we need something. You're looking at, if we look to expand at CTR, we're going to impact the neighborhood. If we go somewhere else, we're going to impact a neighborhood. Everywhere we go, we impact them at a different level. And our goal is always to coexist. And CTR, for example, it is zoned commercial. All right, that's a conditioned use out there. If we went into the Dietrich pit, we'd really have to take a look at the buffering and all the things that we need to do to be compatible with that neighborhood and look at these impacts. And how we can, how we can mitigate those to make it work. But keeping in mind that no matter where we go, this was a point when one of our planners had just actually moved on to Juneau had made to me a number of occasions when we were looking at this, was that you move to a different location, you're impacting a whole new group of people. Where you're at CTR today, you've already impacted them. You're already there, and when we get down to this point where you're making the subject, and it is a subjective call, you get to a certain point, it goes beyond all these technical aspects, and we're going to ask you to make some calls that are, based on, what's best for the community. So I do think we need something to guide us here, and for at least this portion of this, you might really want to take a look at what we, derive this out of.
Yeah.
Though we went by the book with Wash Ugle, we still had people, and Mr. Baker, I'm sure you were here for that too. We still had an issue of protesters. We still had adjoining property owners. And what happened was the operator went back and did adequate modifications to and oversight and so on and so forth, and took some additional responsibilities for some things to mitigate any impact on their neighbors. And to my knowledge, we haven't heard any new complaints since then. So being reasonable has worked. And that was in an industrial zone.
So
I guess my great thing, I really applaud looking out at what is being done. I hesitate, and I don't think that it makes sense to apply feelings to any of this, but I have to question, what is the EPA's level of, what level of confidence do we have at this particular time in some of the, the information? I have no basis to say anything about King County. But I do think we do need lists, but my hesitation is based upon, I guess I really want to understand, how did that thought process come about instead of creating something just for the basis of because it's been created, and I don't have any understanding of how this has worked. And it doesn't mean that it's good, bad, or anything else. I'm just basically wanting to indicate that I find some of these, if I were going to argue in either way and we were going to have a speech and debate lesson here, probably Jeannie and I could argue on both sides. We could switch hats.
We could bring Jim Mansfield in and we could definitely have a debate.
Well, see, and I guess, maybe as I just keep rereading this, examples of these criteria, may include, I almost want to go a little softer here.
In the scheme of things, we renew this every 5 years. In the hallucinations down the road, when do you expect a North transfer station?
Actually, the feasibility study is going to be finished probably next 6 months.
I would think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to get to this point. Where we're at is we're in this focus site screening right now. So that's where he's... the consultant is getting this down to, and then we're going to come to you and say, we've got these two sites. And if we're going to have to...
Are you going to see this in this next five-year period?
Oh, yeah.
How?
You're going to see it soon.
Yeah.
So we need to kind of... You guys need to kick this around and how you want to do this. And yeah. I will point out to you, though, that there are some... These other steps that were already in the plan... are still there, the public outreach, the environmental.
Right.
But I think it's important, though, that maybe, like I said, I come back to take a look at what the EPA did. Maybe, yeah. Do you want to see the King County one also? Or did we already
you basically that? See it.
I'd like to see the basis for thinking.
Okay.
Just because somebody goes down a road doesn't mean we should also.
But I think in this particular case, when you're talking about solid waste handling facilities and you're talking about siting such facilities, EPA is a very good resource for us to use. I mean, this is basically what they do, what they oversee. Anytime you would go through a siting facility, you would go through the SEPA review, which means that, it's like there's going to be a level of federal oversight into that. So... I think once you see the document, you'll probably feel better about it.
I know there will be more of a process. I know there will be more of a process, and we do. This isn't a final. So,
yeah,
we do have more steps for this to go through. But I do think this is good thinking. And
I think there's a lot of things that we haven't, that we need to think about. When you're trying to site heavy industrial areas, you have to remember that Richfield has been burned by that creosote problem that they had out there.
Yeah.
And they're probably not going to welcome too much heavy industry in the first place and that kind of thing. And with the current discussion that we're having with the coal trains coming through, the oil going through the port, and the garbage trains already coming through, we might have a little problem with the public on this, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm with taking your time to think this through.
Absolutely.
I really am. I mean,
because this is an important one. There's no question about that.
The EPA has pretty much given us a guideline.
Yes.
King County has already followed the guidelines, followed the permit processes, had everybody and their brother sue them through every step of the process. And King County has taken all of the above and put it into a workable plan that helps to mitigate problems going forward. Is that a pretty good summary of
Well, we're going to get, just keep in mind, Don, you're right. You know we're going to get sued. Okay? It's just a given. Don't take it personal.
But I will say that identifying the process and the criteria does help you stay out of trouble. It minimizes it. Yeah, it doesn't guarantee that you won't have issues, citing issues, but by having a process in your criteria, you at least, and adhering to that, you at least minimize your exposure.
You're adhering to a process that other people have used.
Correct.
The guidelines of the federal guidelines, the guidelines of the biggest county in the state that has got a few more dollars and resources than us. Maybe not every last sentence, but the overall principle has got to work in all transfer jurisdictions.
Yep.
And the point being is that, say we do go to litigation and we follow this plan that has worked from the federal level, from the largest county in the state, we have a lot better chance of prevailing.
Yes.
And that's where I come from. I mean, like I say, no matter where we go, it's a tough industry to site a facility. You know, they don't want us in their backyard, even though we are absolutely necessary to them. And we have to have something to follow to get us down and narrow these sites down in the selection process.
I have a question, and maybe Brandon, you'll know the answer. Are there state laws in regards to siting process? I know in other states they have such things as half-mile, one-mile buffers in regards to some of these specifics.
I do not know the answer to that.
Well, actually, it's too bad Gary wasn't.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing.
The state does have the solid waste handling facilities, the WACs.
173-303.
Yeah, and
a facility
does have to be designed to meet certain criteria. And, you know, and some of these are, indeed, I think, in the WACs, you know, like a proximity to the airport and those kind of things. So some of them are in the state laws.
And so I guess what that brings to mind, having gone through a landfill siting, is that, you know, when you get through these and something does contest it, mm-hmm. that there needs to be a means at which that the criteria will be able to be addressed. So when there's a residence right next door that... Yeah. You know, something happens. I guess it's kind of a final thought.
So I need to backtrack on something.
Okay.
So I was horrified to imagine that a transfer station might go in wetlands or floodplains.
Right.
And then I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, most of the industrial land in the court is in the floodplain, but some of it is mitigated.
Right.
And then I'm thinking West Van, which is one of our single most productive facilities and existing, is close to the floodplain, if not in the floodplain. Right. So By if these rules are hard and fast and not just things that we consider, what it could mean is that where they have property and where they could expand, they wouldn't be allowed to expand because they would fall under a prohibition. Mm-hmm. Where they have a lot of land left, it's a functional facility. They're expanding, taking construction demolition, and they're talking about expanding the recycling, the yard debris or organics.
Right.
So that's a perfect example of what we would want to be able to take into consideration,
right.
The difficulty of siting somewhere else, as opposed to allowing them to expand if that was necessary in their existing circumstance. So I think we do need to apply some rational... I don't want to see a list of definitions that force us to make decisions that aren't prudent. So
I just wanted to come back to that as I was thinking about our earlier conversation about the CDC.
Right.
Which we know is a badly needed facility, and you need to have adequate room for that and an adequate sort line and all the rest of that. So that's one issue that...
Right. It's a double-edged sword.
Exactly. Yeah. It can be a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And even on the archaeology, mm-hmm. the requirement is that if it's a high-probability area, test holes are dug. And if there are no findings, then it's cleared for whatever the development is. So, I mean,
right.
it doesn't mean an outright prohibition. If we could go over to M7.
Okay.
Comparative site evaluations, the second item, impact on air quality.
Right.
Does that mean making air dangerous? Because I would want to include stinky air or odors emitted.
Doesn't that include
that?
Mm-hmm.
Technically? Mm-hmm.
You're sure? Mm-hmm.
Well, nature's needs over banks is sure. Yeah, I would.
Okay, because it should, because that can be a nuisance for surrounding livability.
Right, and from a transfer station perspective, it's going to be more odor than it is going to be types of...
Well, and Portland has gone through that, and the areas Portland has shipped organics have gone through that.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes mitigated, sometimes not, but it can be very disruptive to residential...
It's probably one of the more prominent residential issues that come up.
Okay, just wanted to be sure.
Okay, any other thoughts or comments about this? I think where we've landed is that I'm going to send everybody out a copy of the EPA document that we were working from, and maybe we can have another conversation about this then.
How involved is the EPA document?
I was trying to remember, Mike. It's probably about maybe 30 pages. It's not really thick, but it did have a lot more detail than the bullet points that were picked up. So maybe it would be good to have that background. And
is it an overall or is it a regional? EPA is broken out into
regions. I think it was a regional document.
I honestly haven't looked at it
but
for a while.
I can't remember.
I've been living in Lightyear land, so.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan?
Okay, so we're going to continue on
with
what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll get additional info.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can come back and talk about
it. And, of course, it would be for everyone to go and to... due diligence with the groups that you represent. Okay. Anything else?
That's enough.
Okay. Other business. And I guess I don't want to go back over. Julie, did you have additional reports to give?
No. That's all I have to talk about tonight.
Other business? Okay. Comments from the public? Oh, Scott.
Well, we talked a lot about King County tonight, right? And their newest transfer station, which I can't remember the name of, and I was just looking for it. They're having an open house on the 8th.
Yep.
And it's milepost 153, 154 area. You can't miss it. I mean,
a real road.
Well, on the freeway, if you look over to the right, there's been this odd-looking roof that everyone's wanted to know what it is.
It's still real close to Tech exit.
Yeah, exactly. And that's quite a facility. We got a preview of that, and it's pretty amazing what they've done.
What so their siding criteria must work on.
Is there a ramp yet?
Well, I think
they're
so.
Opening the facility.
Landfill.
Right.
I was a little kid. I remember going over there down there with
Bubba.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see the landfill.
A little bit above
a part of the landfill down below,
Yeah. No, we should go down there and throw it off the edge.
Yeah.
Is that the Norman
Street? Anyway, that's funny.
Scott?
What did you say that was?
Is that between Tacoma and Seattle?
Yeah.
53 would be. I just came back from Alaska, and I, of course, asked lots of questions about it, because they did have recycling things here, there, and everywhere. And I said, well, what do you do with it? We send it back to the States. You know, they put it in big containers and ship it back down here. You know, and I don't know if it goes to China or if it goes to one of the places in Seattle.
Goes to Glassville.
But no, we're talking about recycle.
Oh.
No, recycle. No, we get trains through here all the time.
But
it was interesting. Yeah.
Why don't say that too loudly? Okay. So we have some homework to do in regards to ecology and looking at that. We can look forward to receiving more information from Anita. So if we don't see that within the next 7 days, we should probably...
I'll get it to you real soon. I
only ask because sometimes when things are all locked together, I was speaking of paper, I re-ask her for things and they're in there, and I just... because there are so many attachments.
Yeah, I'll get it to you.
Okay.
Very quickly.
So let's look for that. And so we are adjourned until next month. November. Are we in October? Oh, my gosh. Okay, November.
In November.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sure you know.
You can get it. Good. Yeah. It gets real close to it.
No.